What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning. Welcome to Tab Computer Talk with Tab. My name is Dennis.
And I'm Eric.
And I am running the board today,
yeah. If
you can't tell, and I'm sure you do by now.
<A little training.
laughs> I already dropped the ball once.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Welcome. We're having another show about technology and news and things we can do to help you out with your technology.
Mm-hmm.
What's really nice is we keep telling people to call right away so
yes.
that they can get on the show. Don't wait until 10:45
right.
To call in. Mm. Well, we got two people on the line already.
That's a good
this
start.
This is great. Fantastic. Good Welcome
start.
Aboard.
Good start.
What we wanted to do now is do what we normally do, which is to start off with a couple of news items.
We have some stuff, Dennis.
We have stuff, unfortunately.
Well, this is good stuff. This one I like.
Yep.
I've been waiting for it for a long time. I'm a big Galaxy, the classic Galaxy Watch fan. It's a smart watch that looks like a watch rather than looking like a chiclet on your arm there
yeah.
or some sort of technology. It looks like a watch. It's really, as far as I'm concerned, if I can have technology that doesn't look like technology, I win. And I get all the benefits of it. Well, Galaxy is now finally, I talked about this maybe a year and a half ago, they are going to have blood pressure tracking.
Blood pressure tracking?
Yes, just in time for me to not need it anymore. That's a whole other issue. My blood pressure has been perfect.
Nice.
I've been working on it for like 15, 20 years. I've always been a little slightly high. So just in time for me to not need it, they're going to offer blood pressure tracking. Now, basically, they're going to get around a lot of the government requirements by kind of saying it's more of a novelty than an actual medical device, right? When you start getting into my watch is not a medical device, okay? I realize this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice to be able to know all this stuff. It tells me my blood oxygen, because when you go to get a checkup, they stick that thing on your finger and, hey, mm-hmm. you're breathing. Well, that's great.
Sure.
They'll do the same thing with this. It tells me all sorts of stuff. My heart rate, I keep track of my weight, you name it.
Okay.
I was actually at a performance, actually a rehearsal, and my bandmate next to me, she was having some serious heart things popping up on her where her heart was racing and her watch was telling her exactly what was going on.
Wow.
That's kind of a neat technology.
Yeah. Very cool.
In this case, you can actually have your blood pressure monitored. Now, of course, they do want you to calibrate, though. You have to calibrate it with actual levels periodically every 28 days. So
every 20, sounds
a big pain
kind
in
of
the
frequent.
Butt. Yeah. So you'd have to use an actual cuff. And of course, I've got one because I've been working on this blood pressure thing for a long time. And it'll recalibrate every 28 days. So you got to kind of put it in there, but it's okay. It's been released in South Korea more than 6 years ago, so it's mm-hmm. definitely something pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it showing up on my smartwatch soon.
Well, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and again, the more stuff we can get on our devices that actually help us day to day with health is a good thing.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. We'll put the story up there for you. Take a look at it from The Verge.
Very nice.
What do you got, Dennis? Anything
I've
good?
Got the story that I've got is about the North Koreans. They're at it again.
Those guys got nothing better to do.
Yeah, well,
when
you're a hermit kingdom and you can't buy and sell on the world market because nobody will buy or sell your stuff legitimately,
right.
you've got to do things like break into decentralized finance systems and steal cryptocurrency.
Oh, that sounds like a hobby.
Well, that is their hobby.
Yeah.
They're surprisingly good at it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story here about a recent heist from the Drift decentralized finance platform.
Drift, huh? Never Drift. Heard of it.
I've never heard of it either until I saw this.
Yeah.
It's another one of these outfits that uses their own blockchain to tally up trades in other things, including cryptocurrency on other blockchains.
Right.
You can also lend crypto. I don't even know why people do this stuff, okay? But hey, it's what they do.
It is.
At any rate, they found a way, the North Koreans did, they found a way to break into the blockchain of the finance operation.
But that's impossible, Dennis. I heard blockchains are just so perfect that they'll self-correct. You can't have this happen, Dennis.
They self-correct and they are encrypted, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
No.
not so much.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
The North Koreans were able to break into this platform and steal... Get this, $285 million worth of cryptocurrency.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, they stole $285 million of the emperor's new clothes.
And they move it to a different platform, most likely.
Correct.
So once they do that transaction, get it out, it's gone.
Well, yeah, they move it to their own platform, and then they'll use transactions there to transfer all that cryptocurrency to their own portion of the Bitcoin blockchain or Ethereum blockchain or whoever is involved.
I keep seeing more and more mainstream institutions talking about crypto, using crypto. We had a story that we talked about where somebody said the Bitcoin was at a bottom and that was at 70. And then what does it do? Dropped to like 64. So even the experts, again, quote unquote, don't know what the bottom of, as far as I'm concerned, the bottom is zero and it will get there eventually.
It will.
They're saying now Bitcoin's problem, Dennis. People don't have liquidity. Well, wait a minute. You don't have enough cash to buy fake money? Oh, what a shame. Why don't you buy more fake money with your fake money? Why can't you use the fake money?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why they invented Ethereum.
Yeah,
so that people
that
could buy
money.
And sell something else with their Bitcoin.
Yeah, so wait a minute. You want real money to buy Bitcoin? But I thought Bitcoin was so valuable. Why would you? It just doesn't make sense to me. How can you have not enough liquidity to buy the fake money? Wait, you want to actually use real money to buy the fake money? Well, and then somebody pays you the real money back? That's the steal? It is nutty. It is Beanie Babies on steroids. It is Tulips on steroids. It is Greater Fool Theory on steroids. And people are going to lose their – they're going to let people use Bitcoin for mortgages.
What?
Right? Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. So it's – I mean –
I don't even know where to go with that.
When these banks start getting this technology, start getting these Bitcoin products into their portfolio, and we bail them out because it does go to zero, because the ding-a-lings who said 60 was the bottom or 70 was the bottom and find out that zero is the bottom. If we're bailing these guys out, this will be yet the 15 bazillionth time we bailed out bankers, and I'm sick and tired of this.
I agree.
It is hard enough to operate within this society the way we are to not have to trust bankers. And every single crash or every single recession is caused by bankers.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
You know, I mean, it's nutty. So let's hope they wake up and say none of this baloney. Because if the North Koreans are hacking your blockchain,
you're in deep trouble.
Yeah,
yeah,
you really are. Anything else you want to bring up?
I do, and this goes along with cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we talk about is how it enables criminality.
Of course, yes.
Because scammers will force people to give them Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever.
Right.
As part of their
ransom.
Yeah. I have a story by Bob Sullivan, a very good consumer advocate reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be with MSNBC, I think, a long time ago. He also worked for NBC News for a long time.
All right.
He has a podcast now. He talks about a guy who works at a gas station that has one of these crypto kiosks in it, you know, basically a Bitcoin ATM.
Yes.
That doesn't give out money.
No, it sucks in your. It takes your real money.
It takes your real money, but it doesn't give it to anybody.
No, just the bad
at any rate, what he does is when he sees people jamming dollars into there, he'll walk up to them and say, "Hey, you're being scammed. Stop that. Don't give that to
them."
Is
there somebody on the phone with you right now?
As a matter of fact, he interrupted a phone call in progress with somebody who was jamming money into it. And the person at the other end of the line heard him, you know, talking to the lady that he was talking to and hung up, of course.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, this is a guy who knows what's really going on with these things. And Bob Sullivan's position on these things is ours, that they shouldn't exist.
They really
They have one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to fuel scams.
Yep. That's what we think. And to find that, you're sitting there with $5,000 in cash. If you find yourself standing in front of a crypto box like that with $5,000 in cash and you're feeding it in there,
you've got to start thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah.
I can't say it enough. I mean, you really shouldn't be doing that.
It's like the sheriff of Nottingham building a mansion in the forest there, if you remember that Bugs Bunny commercial. That Bugs Bunny cartoon. Yeah. He's sitting there wondering, why am I building my dream house in Sherwood Forest? Well, you shouldn't be doing that. So think of the same thing. If you're in front of the cryptocurrency, think of the sheriff of Nottingham. So anything else you want to do, or you want to go to a break?
I want to talk about a story real quick.
All right.
We had astronauts who took off.
Yeah,
they are on their way to the moon right now. This is fantastic.
We're doing
and the Artemis
difficult.
Too.
Yeah.
And they're on board. Apparently they've got a Microsoft Surface.
Uh-huh.
Which is one of our favorite machines.
Not.
Yeah. And one of the astronauts was trying to do something with it, and he says, "I have two Microsoft Outlooks on this, and neither one of them is working."
Welcome to our world. Is he going to call tech support?
Well, I don't know, because I think they were the victim of one of Microsoft's many outages.
Mm-hmm. So they're using Outlook.com down there at NASA?
I think so. Well, I think it was just the astronaut maybe doing some personal correspondence. But, I mean, even in space,
yes,
they have IT troubles. And I had to laugh because this is normal.
Hopefully the whole ship isn't running on Microsoft. That'd be a bigger problem.
I would not think so.
Yeah.
I would not think so. I'm pretty sure the rocket doesn't depend on internet connectivity at all anyway, so.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't launch your rocket because your internet timed out. It's cloud. It's an Internet of Things cloud device. Sorry, I can't turn here. We don't know where you are with the internet. Yeah, it's crazy. All right. So what do you got to do next here, Dennis? What's your next step in this program as you're training?
We are going to have to go to a commercial break.
Sounds good.
Yep. And we are back.
Yes, sir.
I think it's time that we take a couple of these calls that
all
have
right,
been waiting
give it a
patiently
shot.
For
give
us.
Give it a shot. You want to go to Jeff in South Carolina, see what he's going to gloat about?
Yeah, let's talk to Jeff.
And you got to bring him up.
Jeff.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, we knew you were going to call today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was in the backyard shooting threes.
Nice. We couldn't do that.
Yeah, we couldn't hit a three to save our lives last night.
No.
Oh, man, that was a good game, wasn't it?
No.
No, it was not, no. But it was right, good for right. you, so congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Yep, maybe next year.
Probably next year. It's only maybe for you guys. It's always probably for us.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, y'all got a good team. You got a real good team.
We do. We do. And your team did a great job. I mean, they actually know how to play defense, and UConn didn't understand what that was all about because they typically don't see anybody doing that to them when they win by 36 points. So that was the shocker.
Right.
They're like, wait a minute. These ladies can put some defense. What do I do here? They were completely not used to that. So.
Yeah, that's one good thing about East Carolina. They do play some good defense.
Yeah.
I was watching UCLA, that girl in the middle, Betts. She's going to be a challenge. I can't wait to see her.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's up?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what do you got for us? You got a tech question, too? You're going to gloat and have a tech question?
Oh, that was a tech question. if you guys want to come over and be Gamecock fans, we'll have open arms for you.
Oh, man, we're a Jeff fan, definitely.
Oh, good. Well, I don't have a computer question today. I'm finna go do some eggs.
Yeah, for Easter?
For the kids. I got to lay some eggs out in the church. So y'all have a blessed day and happy Easter to you guys.
You too, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right.
Jeff is happy today.
Yep, he is. All right. And,
so now you got to go ahead and drop him. You got to hit the drop button. There you go.
All right.
You're trainable.
I can learn. Now we're going to go to John in Farmington.
Right. All right. Now bring up his sound. There we go.
And John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Thank you kindly. Always fun to hear from Jeff.
Yes.
But I have observed what I think is probably the best way to handle email spam these days.
Oh, and, tell us.
Microsoft Copilot seems to agree with me.
Hmm.
I noticed that on blocking spam email, I would get tremendous amounts of spam. The next day after blocking maybe 20, then I'd get 30 the next day.
Mm, right.
And, of course, the email addresses were almost the same with perhaps, let's say, one-digit change, probably done automatically by the spamming software, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So what I have gone to, and it has reduced by more than 80% the amount of spam I get, I don't block it anymore. Because blocking will let the spammer software know that you receive the message when you block it. So if you just delete it, it doesn't get any message. And another advantage to that is I found that when I used to block email, it would delete but put in my trash file. It would put the deletions in my trash file and put it out. Because, like probably a lot of people, I go into the trash file now and then. It's really the digital equivalent of the good old office circular file.
Right.
Now, how many times have we rescued stuff from the circular file or from trash email that we actually want to use again?
Well, sadly, that's a problem. Yeah.
It is.
But if you just delete, it's... permanently deletes it. It's gone forever. It doesn't dump that junk into your trash like it will do after you block it. So I've got a two or threefold advantage in just plain deleting. It might have been useful to block things 10 or 20 years ago, but I don't think it is today. And I seem to have much better control. And just the few that I get first thing in the morning, just delete them.
What about going to the next level then and actually going to your email provider and changing your spam filter settings? You can do that.
The spam filter is working well.
Okay.
Okay. So you're just still getting a few items that were coming through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still getting a few, but not bad. But your point is very well taken.
Okay, good. Well, you got a way to go there, John. It looks like you got some success blocking, versus just deleting it. Makes sense to me.
Yep.
Just delete it up.
That's pretty much it for today.
All right, John.
All right, excellent.
I hope you guys and Jeff have a really good day today.
All right, thanks.
Well, we know Jeff is having a really good day.
Thanks. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, John.
All right, thank you.
Yep, bye now.
All right.
And right. So,
so you got to drop him. Oh, here, he dropped himself.
Oh,
that's okay. Handy, too. Sometimes they do that for you. when the callers,
thank you.
When the callers help out, we like that.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, spam email is a big issue for everybody. That deleted folder comment, though, is a big problem, too. So unfortunately, even in our client base, we've had folks actually use that deleted folder as a repository. And of course, when we have to troubleshoot Outlook because it's not performing correctly or it's just sluggish, the first steps are to empty those folders to free up resources, right?
Right, right.
And so if you are doing that, where you're leaving your deleted in there to refer to again, you're going to get burned by IT people or even anybody who's going to clean up that folder. So try not to do that. I mean, I can remember an irate attorney, oh my gosh, like 15 years ago. You deleted my deleted folder.
Well, yeah.
We emptied the trash.
That happened to me a long time ago, too, once somebody was saving their stuff in the deleted items. Mm-hmm. But one thing you got to remember, sometimes email clients have logic in them that will automatically clean those out after a certain amount of time. So
You're
without people like Eric or me deleting stuff from there, you're putting those messages in danger just leaving them there.
Right, because that can be part of the process that automatically happens.
Yeah, so you got to be real careful with those things.
So, yeah, now the other thing too is my wife, Mike, I don't know, Gmail, the whole thing on the Gmail and space, those guys make it really hard for you to not buy the additional storage.
Oh,
she's been
true.
Coming up against that.
All right. Man,
oh man, is that a big pain in the hiney. But looks like we're coming up to a break here.
And we've got four lines wide open for you. So
what's the number?
It is
860-522-9842. There it is.
Okay.
And feel free to get online. We're here till 11 o'clock. We'll take your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And Dennis is driving the bus, so you got to keep him busy. If you don't give him a hard time by calling in, then...
And welcome back to Computer Talk with Tab. We are back.
Yeah, Dennis is driving the bus.
Yeah, not doing it too
You're
well, but we're muddling through here.
It becomes muscle memory, that's all. So we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And here's some concerns. You might have come across this, and maybe you haven't. It's one of those... you know, stories that really hasn't been discussed because of all the other things in the news lately. Mm-hmm. But the Supreme Court recently came down with an opinion in Cox Communications versus Sony Music.
Right.
So basically, there was a judgment that for $1 billion that Sony had won that claimed Cox allowed people to use their internet service to take copyrighted material and download it. And even though they knew the IP addresses of some of these folks that were doing it, they allowed them to continue to do it. This is Sony's contention.
Right.
And as such, harmed Sony. Mm-hmm. And a lower court agreed and awarded Sony $1 billion. Everything's with a billion dollars.
$1 billion.
Bing, bing, bing. So then now they've fast forward to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, and I think it was in a 7-1 decision.
Yes.
Decided that no, you can't. It's not Cox's fault that people are using the service for both good and bad. And they referenced a couple of case law things where it has to do with the fact that Cox was not knowingly or encouraging people to steal copyrighted material.
Right. Also, their service is not designed explicitly for the purpose of stealing copyrighted material either.
And ironically, as we talk about this with the whole concept of us trying to figure out how electricity works, they even reference that, right, in this discussion here. You know, if you want to extrapolate further, you may as well just charge Eversource because they're the ones providing the power for the computers that are then stealing
the data,
which we would all agree is silly as well. So, I mean, Sony's lost a lot of these types of cases because they've tried this with VHS tapes. And I remember this. It was like you couldn't record. They actually put smart technology inside the VHS recorders as they got newer to disallow you from actually copying another VHS tape.
Correct.
Right? If you had one of those duplicators,
yes,
you couldn't do a real movie.
It wouldn't allow you to do it. Right.
And DRM was a big thing. Digital rights management came out. With Napster and all that, I mean, it was free for all. People were stealing those MP3s like it was nothing. And for like, what, 2 or 3 years? It felt like forever.
Yeah, and I believe that I could be wrong. I think there were some court cases about that. Mm. And I think Napster was even taken offline for a while.
Because they were knowingly doing this.
Right. I mean, that's a case where the software was developed for the purpose of copying music.
And they were contending, it's like making a mixtape. What's wrong with making a mixtape? Well, people were making mixtapes of music they didn't own.
Right.
And that's the difference here. So we were trying to get a law professor to come on and talk about this, and we're hopefully to have her on in the future to talk a little more deeply about this. But in this case, Cox Communication has been rendered off the hook because even if you know the bad guys are using your technology to steal from other people, it is not your job to police the bad guys on your service.
Right.
Now, again, we had Kim.com. If you remember Kim.com.
I do.
It was download.com you used to have?
Mega Downloads.
Mega Download. Yeah. They got shut down because he had legitimate people storing data on there, and then he had criminals storing copywritten material.
Right.
FBI took him down.
Right. They just took everything. They went and grabbed the servers.
Right. And there's legitimate businesses who were using that service to back up their stuff that they couldn't get restored when they had failures.
They couldn't get back to their backups. Yeah.
So that's an interesting concept, too, when it comes to this, because I guess the FBI was contending Kim.com knew what was going on.
Well, yeah. And they had evidence that he was actually trying to encourage copyright theft. I don't remember all of the details,
right.
But he apparently had correspondence with people where, you know, he kind of admitted that that's what this service was supposed to be. So
another place
When you overtly tell people, yeah, hey, I let people store pirated stuff on my service.
Yeah.
Then you're opening yourself up, I guess.
Right. So we've seen that happen, and that could be something that goes on in the future for, you know, these storage companies that they have to worry about.
Yeah.
But Cox is off the hook, and anybody else who's offering internet is off the hook, it would seem. I would contend, though, that it would be nice if you knew the bad guys were using your technology to go ahead and steal. It would be nice to at least make a mark or maybe report something or.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, at the technical level, they can keep track of IP addresses and see where this traffic is going and at least be able to suspect that it's happening.
Yeah.
And then maybe go check it out or just collect a database of these addresses and then allow maybe other internet intelligence companies to put two and two together and figure out what's happening.
So looks like Cox saves a billion thanks to the Supreme Court.
They do. And in the meantime, we have 4 lines wide open.
Yeah,
you guys
online.
Were calling in early, but now we got nothing.
860-522-942 is the number. What else you got, Dennis?
I've got a story about data centers.
Yeah.
Something that we've talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems, apparently, with large data centers is that they not only consume a whole lot of electricity
and water
for cooling the systems that are in the buildings, but they also tend to vent a lot of heat.
Wow. And noise too.
Into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And a study that I just found out about cites that you can have a heat island that can extend up to 6 miles around some data centers.
Wow.
6 miles, people.
That's how big these centers are.
Yeah, they are huge, and it's affecting the entire environment. Even though they've got their cooling systems, they've got their water, maybe they're even generating their own electricity so that they're not stressing out the rest of the grid. And they're taking care of everything that they're doing, but they're still venting heat that's getting into the environment and affecting other people and things around them.
Well,
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Depends, though, right? Again, the whole data center controversy is really out there as far as how many actual data centers are going to get built. We'll see. A lot of them are speculation. Some of these companies have to actually put in 4 or 5 prospective sites because the NIMBY folks are going to say, no, we're not going to allow this in our backyard anyways. So of the 4 to 5 prospective locations, the townspeople or locals are going to say no in most cases. There's no real upside. You're not going to, other than the construction, which is great for the construction companies, that short little burst.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no real jobs involved in data centers.
No, it's just a handful of people that have to staff them and keep them going.
So it's not going to help there. No real taxes. Maybe, well, there might be some property taxes,
well,
I guess.
Well, there would be property taxes. And let's be honest, IT iron is valuable.
Yeah, but they're going to give massive discounts to attract people to put data centers, like here in Connecticut, where they want to actually attract data centers to build in Connecticut, where we don't have electricity connections or hookups. Let's build here. Give them an incentive to build here. I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Well, hey, we got a caller for you.
We do. We have a call. We have John from Manchester.
Yeah. So you want to push the button and then bring him up.
John.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Great show.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I love you guys the way you... Yes, no problem. I was piqued by the information you were giving about some, either your wife or whatever, would say something about the Google accounts that they're really getting on us about taking us offline with our email because
I don't
have enough storage. Did you come up with any solutions for that yet? I know I can't be the only one.
So there's two options. You can just suck it up and pay the extra cash, which I just completely detest. And the other thing is tell your wife to stop taking 15 shots of the same thing. Right?
Actually probably more like me, you know, with the kids and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I don't know. We grew up in this 80s, right, where you had to take a bunch of shot with film. You only get you'd have 25 or 36 shots, all of them bad. All of them had thumb in there, but occasionally you get one. And you had to.
You're really dating us.
Oh, yeah. And you had to then print out duplicates of that film. So you're still doing it when it comes to digital. She'll click, 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 click. I'm like, of course you got like no space on your phone. And then, of course, it's backed up. You get backed up to the Google.
We did a lot
of cleanup on her account, trying to clean up the email, which didn't really make much of a dent. Really, it's the backup of the phone. And you have to go in there and clean up those pictures. The other issue is, though, you have to go. One of the best ways to deal with it, and I'll tell you right now, truthfully, we haven't done it, is to go ahead and after you do your cleanup and you delete all the stuff on your phone, the next step really is to blow away the backup. You have to blow away the backup because the backup is there to back it up, right? It's not going to go ahead and reduce your backup capacity usage because it's there to protect the data you deleted. So the only way to kind of get that back to zero would be then to blow away the backup, which, of course, the way you look at that, even for me, it seems kind of like just wrong to blow away a backup, right? It's hard for me as an IT guy to blow away a way to recover.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's going to reconstitute whatever's on that phone, but I might lose something that was actually deleted in error earlier on. And then she'll say to me 3 months later, hey, I need to get this picture. It's not there. Was it because we blew away our whole backup? And I'll be like, she would be right. So that would be the way to do it, though. You'd have to take a sledgehammer to it so that the backup then reduces to fit what you actually have done here on your phone. There is some sort of there's a compression you can turn on. We try to turn that on, but that's only going to deal with future data that's being sent. So it's really kind of designed to have you just consume and continue to consume and never stop consuming, and then keep paying for that data.
It's very insidious.
Yeah. So that's the way around it.
I just hate to pay people to advertise to me all the time. I mean, it's just craziness.
What do you mean?
Well, because you're going to lose your Gmail account and you're not going to be able to back up anything. And people are telling me, oh, hey, they're sending stuff back. You know, I'm not able to get into your Gmail, you know, in order to, send you stuff. I'm like, oh,
because it's bouncing back because you don't have enough storage.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, and then that's the other thing, right? So I don't use, we don't, neither of us use those accounts for anything real. We have you know, Proton accounts that are real email boxes. So we really don't care if it bounces back. But yeah, for people who do use it as real, that is another issue. So you're stuck.
So with the Proton, you like the Proton?
Yeah, Proton is a great encrypted email system, and not that you're doing anything wrong, but it's private. It's in Switzerland. There's some benefits there because nobody has the keys but you. So if you lock yourself out, you're locked out. No third party is going to have access to your email at the Proton site. Now, if they want to get your email at your home, yes, they can serve you a subpoena and say, you know, Johnny, we need to look at your email. And then you'll have to put the password in and let them have access to it if it's illegal. But otherwise, they can't do it without you knowing. And a lot of these searches are happening without people knowing.
Right.
And you could be scooped up into who knows what. And, you know, whoever's doing a search on whoever can say, I want to have all the emails sent by so-and-so. And you wouldn't even be informed if it was Google or Microsoft or any of them. They don't even have to tell you. That seems to me to be a problem. And at least with Proton, again, not that you're doing anything wrong, they can't do that. And I don't know. Not that I'm doing anything wrong, but I have comfort in that. That's all.
One more quick with your 6 mile heat range around these AI centers that they're putting up. I deliver with tractor trailer. I have to run into New York sometimes, and out in the fringes of New York, they're putting these places, these small towns, and letting them put them up in the middle of their small town, supposedly like isolated areas. Hmm. Oh my God, what a weird thing the whole thing is. They do most of it at night. They got all these. I mean, it's really strange. No signs, no nothing, because they don't want anybody to know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
It is wild, and it sounds really crazy, just like you're saying. We're going to be paying for this for years.
I hope not. I hope. Yeah. I don't have a lot of faith in our legislators, as you probably have gathered from my show over the past 30 years.
I'm with you 1,000%.
But you would hope that they are not going to make us pay for these AI data centers. If it's such a good idea, and it's going to make these companies so much money. And again, I want my 401k to go up, but I don't want to pay for the electricity. I want to be able to, you know, keep my refrigerator running, right? I don't want to have to, you know, turn it off because I can't afford the electric bill because of AI. That doesn't seem very intelligent artificially or not. So
the power they're bringing in there is beyond belief. I just watched it as it went up over the last, they do them real quick too. Mm. 6-8 months, boom. They try to grab existing buildings that these companies put up for lease.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing.
Wow.
It's scary. It really is.
Progress.
Oh, yeah. Real progress. Yeah, we're making progress. I appreciate you guys. You have a great weekend.
You too.
Enjoy your holiday.
Yeah. You too.
Bye bye.
All right.
Bye.
So we're going to step out for a break.
We are going to step out.
Slide his down, and then we've got to give Carolyn the magic.
And we are back.
You're doing fine, Dennis. Doing fine.
Oh, this is harrowing.
A little cross-training here for Dennis on Computer Talk with Tab. So we're back to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns.
We have a caller waiting, Beth from South Windsor.
All right. Let's see what you can do here. All right.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, hi there. Welcome aboard.
Yeah. This is kind of, I guess, going to be a follow-up question about Proton Mail. I've been right on the threshold of switching over, but I was doing a lot of looking into it, and I'm pretty afraid based on my track record of getting locked out, honestly. Mm. And then the other thing is I think the interface might be a little busy for the two of us. So I was wondering if there was any alternative. I had done some research on that, and I just didn't know if there was some alternatives that you guys felt good about.
Alternatives to pay. So you're looking for paid email.
Yeah.
I mean, being afraid that you're going to lock yourself out is an understandable position. But as far as alternative professional email systems that are paid systems, would be Microsoft 365. That would be a paid mail system that comes to mind. Not the outlook.com, but you're going to pay for the full 365, like home version of it. That would be a way to do it. It wouldn't necessarily have that encryption that Proton has. So that would be an option for you.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Start Mail?
No. Where are they at?
Oh, okay. I think they're Dutch, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, the Dutch. All right. Yes. Gold member just popped into my head. Yeah. I mean, if it's a, again, if it's an, what about it? Do you like it, like about it? As far as an option for you?
Well, I think that it just seemed, I don't know. I felt like there was a lot of the interface of Proton Mail. Like I did look into it quite a bit. It looked very busy, very busy. And I felt like maybe it might be a little simpler. I was just looking at options. I mean, it could turn out to be that you have the same risk, and you probably do, of getting locked out, you know, with the Start Mail too. But
well,
I was just kind of curious. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, the other thing too is you'd want to see as far as how the Dutch deal with any kind of laws having to do with access to your email box.
Yeah.
And that's the key for me. And again, we want to make sure this is just fair and private. If the default mode that we all agree to is privacy, if Start Mail says, well, if there's an inquiry on Beth's email, will you be notified? Do they have to tell you there's been an inquiry? Interpol wants to look at Beth's email. Do they have to notify you? Is it something that is out of a jurisdiction of American law? I mean, is there that going on there?
Well, one thing that I'm going to say about it is they are covered by the GDPR out of the European Union.
Yep.
So just in general, you have more protections than you would here in the United States, but maybe not as many as you do in Switzerland. It might be in a little bit of a middle zone for that.
A little bit.
But if she's going to research that,
yeah,
just look into what GDPR does, because that will be
the
will govern it.
Yeah. As far as how the interface works, you can use any mail client you want with Proton Mail. So if you want to use Outlook, you have to do you do have to use a little Rube Goldberg interface there to make that work.
They call it a connector, I believe.
Yeah,
but it's just a service that runs in the background, and then it allows your client to connect.
You can use other clients like Gmail client. You can use the Proton client. So your how you get your mail can still be through whatever client you want. I'd recommend the Proton client, but you just have to get used to it. It is free to start if you want to play with it, to see if you'd like it before you move on. And we're not selling it or anything. It's just
No, I know. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to de-Google. I have Gmail and Yahoo. I'm trying to definitely de-Google myself, and eventually would like to, you know, get off of Yahoo too. So
right, de-Google. I love it.
De-Google. Well, you know how you can sign into some of these apps and you use your Gmail? So I was sort of laid up for surgery recently, so I was sort of changing all my passwords to get away from, you know, signing in with Google. So that's why I think de-Google.
Yeah.
I have another quick question. Sure. A friend of ours' phone got hacked, and it was a big pain in the neck. And I did a few things settings-wise to try to tighten up our security. But one of the things that you could do with Apple is they have this setting called stolen phone protection, but you have to enable Face ID, which we don't have. And I'm just wondering, is Face ID secure? What are the pros and cons to Face ID?
Interesting, right? anything is as secure as it is. I mean, I can't tell you if it's secure or not. The interesting fact that they're making you have Face ID for that to work is odd, right? They could definitely have the stolen phone concept in a pin if they wanted to. But it is Apple. They tend to be more private, more secure. I'll put it around quotes than other companies because they say they don't use your personal data the way companies like Google do. So I would bet it's probably more safe-isher than other companies. And when you say hacked, if somebody stole your phone and they don't have the PIN, you're safe. It's that your data is encrypted, right? So nobody's going to be able to get on your phone if it has a PIN that you have set and protected it. So when your friend was hacked, what happened with their scenario?
I don't exactly know, but I think it might have been like a SIM jacking. So this happened a while ago.
Oh,
I've been meaning
okay.
to call you. So I looked that up and did a few things so that, you know, changed a few settings, I think, so that you hopefully would limit the opportunity for that.
Yeah. Well, to your original question, you know, I think you're probably safe to turn on the Face ID with Apple. If you want to make sure that stolen phone thing is a thing. But if you have the PIN set, I wouldn't worry about it. No one can get in your phone without that PIN.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good information.
All right, Beth.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. And it's time for us to take another news break.
Yes, it is.
We will be back. And remember, call 860-522-8642.
9842.
9842. Sorry.
You're not fired yet. You're doing fine. We'll be right back.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.